Today, I would like to do one sermon as we enter the Christmas season before I do my Christmas series. Now, this is a sermon I actually did last year, but I wanted to return to it, so I updated it, revised it a little bit. And so today I'd like to talk to you about the war on Christmas. But next week, we will start our series, Christmas Through Eyewitness Accounts. Is that what we came up with the title? And what we're going to do is, I am going to share what Christmas means through the eyes of certain characters in the Christmas story. And so as we did in Easter, and I was the gladiator, or not the gladiator, gee whiz, I was the Roman centurion, I will be in character for the next couple series. So the first time I've attempted this, so I ask you to be praying about this series, and we will have fun with it. But today I would like to talk about something that we have to deal with now every Christmas, the war on Christmas. And it's already started. Last week I read an article about a school, a junior high school, that took kids every year to see the Nutcracker, the ballet. And this year, some parents got upset and didn't want the school to do it. It was because it was endorsing Christianity, because on the stage of the ballet was a Christmas tree. And that offended parents. Now, I had to go see the Nutcracker once. As I was going through Bible college and seminary, they make you take certain classes that are required about arts and humanity, and they're trying to, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Cultivate? Cultured. Make you cultured. Cultivate culture. And I'm not a very cultured person. I went and saw the Nutcracker with Wendy, the ballet, and as I sat there, I don't remember anything Christian about it. I don't remember the gospel being presented. Yes, there was a Christmas tree, but I don't know why that would offend anybody. I mean, it did make me pray, though. I kept praying it would end. It got to intermission, and I was like, God answered my prayer. And I found out there was another whole half to it. But that's as much as it brought me towards God with. And so, it's getting ridiculous out here. So I wanted to come back and touch on this subject as we enter into the Christmas season, because it's something we're going to be hearing, and it's something we're going to probably be dealing with, maybe even in our own family. So how do we deal with the war on Christmas? And so here we see this was a billboard advertisement last year in Times Square in New York City. Atheists put this up, and it caused a lot of controversy. I don't know if it'll be back this Christmas, but this is what they had last year. And their whole thing is, you take Christ out of Christmas. Let me show you. There's no sound to this one, but let me show you the video that was on this electronic billboard. Go ahead and play it. So that's what people were seeing playing over and over in Times Square. Now, I want to point just a few things out before we get started. The word holiday, now you can't say Merry Christmas because that offends people. So say they want you to say Happy Holiday. Well, holiday is from the Old English word meaning holy day. Poor atheists, they can't get away from God no matter how hard they try. They're not going to say Merry Christmas because Christ is in Christmas. They'll say Happy Holidays, but they're wishing people a happy holy day. And you see, there's only one thing in all creation that is holy, and that is God. They just can't get away from God. And then many people have thought writing Christmas with the Xmas is actually a bad thing. It's like taking Christ out. Actually, no, if you really study the root of the word, it's ancient Greek. And in the Greek, the word for Christ right there is spelled in the Greek. It has an X. It's actually pronounced Christos. And it means the anointed one. And so in that billboard, they say happy holidays like they're getting away from God. They're not. And then they write Xmas instead of Christmas. They're still talking about Christ and they don't even know it. I just wanted to point that out. Now I want you to listen to a 2-minute interview with one of the atheists that put up the billboard. Go ahead and play.
Segment tonight, the war on Christmas on display. Last week, the group American Atheists put up a billboard in Times Square that says, "Who needs Christ during Christmas? Nobody." That mean-spirited message caught the factor's attention, and we wanted to know why some atheists attack Americans of faith. With me now to explain is Dave Moscato, Communications Director for the aforementioned American Atheists Organization. Wow, Dave, wow. How mean can you be?
We're not attacking anybody. We're just stating a fact that you don't need Christ to celebrate Christmas. Millions and millions of people in this country have a great Christmas without Christ having anything to do with it. Christians in this country don't really care about Jesus. It's not It's not about Jesus. Some do, but Christmas is not about Jesus. It's about spending time with your family. It's not
part
about
of
going
Christmas
to church.
Is Christ, and that's what it's based on.
I understand that the name is that, but I mean, you know, Valentine's Day is named after Saint Valentine, but it's not about a saint. It's about a romance. It's things change over time. This is not about Christ.
Well, it says who?
It's the fact. People don't go to church.
It can't be fact. This is your opinion. It can't be fact. You can't say it's a fact.
Many
Christians don't care about Christ and Christmas.
Some do. Many, many Christians don't. Many Christians pretend that they care. They only go to church twice a year. It's just not that big of a deal to them.
But who are you to say what a Christian should believe or not believe in?
Christians can believe whatever they want. But what we're saying, what American Atheists is saying, is if you don't care about this stuff, don't pretend to care. If you want to sleep in on Christmas, sleep in.
So we're showing your billboard there, and it says, "Who needs Christ in Christmas?" And then the last part that's most offensive to me, what do you mean nobody?
Well, Jesus has been dead for a really long time. You don't need him, for one thing. But it's not about that.
No, because that's relevant. I mean, 73% of the country is Christian. I would say there are a lot of people who need Christ in Christmas.
If people want to celebrate Christmas with Christ, that's their choice. But Christmas is better without Christ. That's our point. We're improving Christmas by letting people be intellectually honest about not caring about this stuff. Don't drag your family to church if they don't want to go to church. If you hate church, you don't have to go. You can skip it. That's our.
Hey, if you hate church, you can skip it. I'm glad he's here to tell me that. I didn't know that. Are we really forcing people to come here and they just don't know it? How many of you guys realize you don't have to be here? Nobody realizes they don't have to be here. Oh, all right. They're improving Christmas. Christmas is better without Christ. Well, we're going to analyze that this morning. But the arrogance sometimes gets me. Let's bring up their little billboard picture again. Now, these are what they're saying is the true meaning of Christmas. Now, all these are part of Christmas. Family and friends and charities and all that. The one I don't really get is Rockettes. But if that is your tradition to go see the Rockettes on Christmas, more power to you. But here's what they're saying is that Christ is out and Christ is better. You know, Christmas is better without Christ, and it's all, this is the true meaning of Christmas. We're going to analyze this argument here. But before we get there, I want to look at one other thing. Go to the next slide for me. Christmas is a Christian holiday. There is no way of getting around it. The word Christmas did not even exist before the early church. And around the first to second century, Christians started to celebrate a day of Christ's birth. There is no way anyone, atheist or not, can argue that Christmas started with Christians. And it is a day set aside to honor the birth of Christ. Now, of course, they say Christmas is better without Christ. We're going to get to that here in a second. But there's two groups that will attack you this holiday season about your Christmas traditions. Atheists, of course, we'll deal with them here in a little bit. But the other group is Christians. Other Christians will judge you, come down on you for your Christmas traditions and for you celebrating Christmas. Now, I want to deal with this group first. Now, there is a new movie out. None of you will be able to go see it because the nearest showing is 157 miles away. So if you want to drive down to Sacramento, you can go see it. It's only in limited theaters. Kirk Cameron brought it out. And it's Saving Christmas. And it's not the war on Christmas from the atheists. It's the war on Christmas from Christians. And how Christians wanted to steal the joy that you experience during the holiday season. The movie's all about that. So maybe when it comes out on DVD, you can watch it. But there are things that Christians attack other Christians on about Christmas. I mean, there's so many of them. I could list, you know, multiple slides, but I only put one up. And here are three things that they attack Christians on. The first is the Christmas tree. It is a pagan idol. It's a pagan symbol. The other one is the ringing of the Christmas bells. That's a pagan ritual. And the other one, Santa, same letters as Satan, just spelled a little differently. Satan has snuck into Christmas as Santa and taken out Christ. Let's talk about these three. Like I said, there's so many I could talk about, but is the Christmas tree a pagan symbol that came into the Christmas tradition? You'll find multiple websites that'll claim this. The best evidence, research, has found no example ever of pagans cutting down trees and bringing them into their house and decorating them. The very first evidence of this happening is in the 16th century with German Christians cutting down trees and bringing them into their house and not putting decorations like we have, but putting fruit on them to symbolize the tree of life. And that the tree of life gave eternal life, and Christ is the tree of life that gives eternal life, and you can go there and take and eat of him. That's the best research. We know pagans didn't do this because, see, pagans worship trees. They worship trees back then. They still worship today. And see, they worship trees because they believed spirits were in the trees. Some good and some not so good. Good and evil spirits. So the worst thing you could do as a pagan is go up to a tree with a spirit and cut it down. You might really tick off the spirit. And then to take that tree with that mad spirit in it and bring it into your home? A pagan would never do that. What the pagans did is they go in and they're worshiping the tree itself and the spirit contained in the tree, and they would leave offerings to the spirit and stuff like that on the tree and under the tree. But it wasn't Christmas trees. It's not a pagan idol. I don't know, has any of you ever gone to your Christmas tree in your living room and bowed down before it and started to worship the tree? Nobody? Okay, everybody's safe then. So, this is a lie, that this is a pagan symbol. The evidence is just not there in history. Now, the ringing of Christmas bells. Yes, pagans way back would ring bells to scare away evil spirits. That's a fact. They did it. Now, because some misguided pagan used to think a bell ringing would scare off spirits, does that mean everyone from then on that rang a bell was doing something like a pagan? When churches rang their bells, were we being pagan? Or were we ringing the bells in churches to announce to people it was Sunday, it was the Lord's Day? Are we ringing bells on Christmas because we want to scare away spirits, or are we announcing the birth of Jesus Christ? Ringing the Christmas bells is not a pagan ritual. And Santa, just being Satan spelled differently. Does anybody know who Santa is based on? St. Nicholas, a real individual. And we know much about St. Nicholas. In 325 AD, at the Council of Nicaea, he stood up against heretics who were trying to bring in blasphemous teachings about Christ. And he stood for the deity of Jesus Christ. He stood in the faith. He was also known for giving of himself to others and taking care of the poor. Santa is a symbol in Christmas that people want to connect with materialism. But you can easily connect Santa to something good and a nice part of Christmas if you want. You don't have to. Santa gives freely, does he not? Does Santa ask for anything back? No. Milk and cookies. That's true. Santa loves all the children. In looking at these things with traditions, most of them have been lied about, such as these. You can celebrate these traditions and not be guilty of idol worship or sinning. Let me read you something from Romans chapter 14. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. Weak in the faith means new or not very knowledgeable in what the Word of God really has to say. And there's doubtful things that people want to argue about, things that are not clearly laid out in Scripture. There are things that are laid out that God says you will not have any part in, and others he says you can do. And then there's others that there's no definite discussion on. God does not say in the Scriptures, do not have Christmas trees. Because if he said that, I would not have a Christmas tree. Do not dispute over doubtful things. Verse 2, for one believes he may eat all things. That's me. But he who is weak in the faith eats only vegetables. Not me. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. What is he saying? He also says in Corinthians, Paul writes to the church about eating meat offered to idols. Paul was saying, you know what? We're mature in Christ. We have liberty in Christ. We know those idols are just blocks of wood or stone. There's no power there. They're not real gods. And so someone offers meat to it. Does it make the meat bad? No, it's still good to eat. If you're mature in the faith, you understand the principles, you can eat the meat. But if you have a weaker brother who may not have your knowledge and understand the liberty we have in Christ, it's probably best not to eat the meat so you don't offend him. But you have the right to eat it. Today, though, it's like everything we do seems to offend somebody. We don't want to ever offend anybody. But sometimes you just can't help it. So you can understand from Scripture that you have freedom in Christ. Yeah, people may judge you. Other Christians may look down on you. There's nothing you can do about it. Don't get into arguments with them because it's just not worth it. You have liberty to esteem this day special. There's no commandment in Scripture for us to worship the birth of Christ. But there's no commandment saying not to either. And there's traditions that we all have. And someone may look at this and go, and believe a lie. That's a pagan symbol. And if you believe that and you don't want a Christmas tree, God bless you, don't have a Christmas tree. But don't judge other people who have a Christmas tree. This Christmas tree always in my family has represented Jesus Christ. If you go to our house, We have two Christmas trees. We have a very classy Christmas tree, blue and white and real pretty. It's Wendy's tree. And then we got the gaudy Christmas tree. That's mine. It's got like 500 lights on it, flashing. If you look at it too long, you might go into a seizure. All right? It's got all sorts of stuff all over it. But it's my fun family Christmas tree. But if you walk up to it, you can reach in. Right there near the trunk, you'll find a spike with a red ribbon tied through it, hanging. That spike represents the nails that pierced Jesus when he was hung on the tree. And that red ribbon represents the blood that was shed. So our Christmas tree, even though it might be gaudy, still to my family is about Jesus Christ. We are convinced fully in our own mind. And that's what it says there in Romans 14:5. Here, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. If Scripture says don't do something, we don't do it. But when Scripture does not speak of things, and we have traditions, you can be convinced in your mind that this is a special day and you can celebrate it. You're not sinning. Let's look at the historical facts. Historical fact number one, Jesus Christ was born. Historical fact number two, Christmas Day, a tradition started by Christians, celebrates the birth of Christ, period. Historical fact number three, the truth of Christmas is found and established in the God-ordained prophecies of Christ. Not Christmas Day, but the truths of what we have on Christmas Day are found in the Scripture. Let me show you. The first one, God ordained the birth. 1 Peter chapter 1. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so your faith and hope are in God. God ordained the birth before the foundation of the world. There was going to be a day set when the child would be born. The next one, God ordained the place of that birth. Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting, eternal. The place of the birth of the Messiah. The next one, God ordained the time of that birth. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Knowing therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, 69 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome time. Christ would come on the scene. The time was ordained. The next one, God ordained the miracle of this birth. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. The virgin shall conceive. It had to be a miraculous birth. The sin is passed on from the Father. And that's why there had to be the virgin birth. The next one is God ordained the child of this birth. Who this child would be. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Remember back to our Revelation study. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Again, Romans 14:5. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. I am fully convinced that when I celebrate Christmas and I have my Christmas tree and I have my other Christmas traditions, yes, it is great family time, but it's all there to remember Christ, to be thankful for the indescribable gift given to us by God that night. Our Savior, God incarnate, God becoming flesh and dwelling with us so he can live the perfect life without sin, to show us the way, to teach us his word, and to eventually die on the cross for the sins of the world, allowing us the possibility, if we repent of our sins, to be born again, to receive the gift of eternal life. That is what Christmas is about. And there will be Christians that will attack you for this, but that's okay. If you run into a Christian like that, pray for him. Don't get into an argument with him. Just pray for him. Wish him a Merry Christmas, or just go in your own mind and be fully convinced of what you're doing. Now let's get back to our atheists. Celebrating the true meaning of Christmas. They want to take Christ out. They said, Christmas is better without Christ. You can flip right there. Christmas is better without Christ. That they're bringing their family something better. He actually said, we've improved Christmas. Let's see. Let's put that to the test. Is Christmas better without Christ for our families? Well, if you take Christ out of Christmas, you don't have Christmas anymore because it's a Christian holiday about Christ. So you don't have Christmas as the title of your holiday. What do you have left? Well, there's an old Roman and pagan holiday called the winter solstice. What was the winter solstice all about? It was actually worshiping Saturn, the planet. They believed to be a god. They were worshiping Saturn. And it was a time of giving gifts and making merry, but it was also a time of offering and rituals so that the new year would be good. Very basically that's what it is, superstition. Putting your faith in something that is not real. So winter solstice, if we want to take Christ out of Christmas, you're only left with a winter solstice for your family, which is basically superstition. Now, I'm sure people today are not going to pray to Saturn, but they still are believing in superstition that it's not about Christ, it's just about nothing. That's superstition. Putting your faith in literally nothing. The next thing they give their families is giving and receiving gifts. Well, there's nothing wrong with giving and receiving gifts. But what it's turned into today is materialism. How many of you guys went out on Black Friday? A couple of us. There's nothing wrong with going on Black Friday. There's nothing wrong with going shopping. There's nothing wrong with buying gifts for your family. It could be dangerous. I heard a report of a lady trying to hold her stuff, her precious treasures. She pulled out her pepper spray and was spraying other customers. A lady was shot here in a store. She died yesterday. You see people getting in fist fights, people running each other over. Giving and receiving is not bad, but when it comes to that point where you're just trying to collect and it's greed and it's materialism, it's ugly. If that's the true meaning of Christmas, receiving stuff, all you're left with is materialism because you base your worth on what you have. The next thing is eating and making merry, and there's nothing wrong with that. I like eating and I like making merry. But if this is the meaning, that's where you're supposed to find your joy, your contentment, then you've fallen into self-indulgence. Self-indulgence is where you're just trying to satisfy and make yourself happy. Trying to find joy. And as we see in the world, and you see in the movie stars and the famous people, the rich people, who have everything that's supposed to make them happy, But you hear stories of them being on drugs and being drunk and doing all sorts of crazy stuff, being arrested. They have everything that's supposed to be in this world for self-indulgence, to make yourself happy. But nothing in this world ever seems to satisfy. Self-indulgence is a road that's going to lead you down into depression. People can't feel enough, so they end up getting become suicidal. The last thing, taking Christ out of Christmas, they give to their family is no divine origin. No divine origin, which basically is secularism. No God, humanism. No divine nature, no nothing. Just complete humanism. Let me ask you, what does this world guarantee you? If God is not in the picture, if Christ is out, what does this world guarantee you? What? Death. Nothing, you're right, and death. That's the only thing you're guaranteed in this life. You're not guaranteed security. You're not guaranteed happiness, peace. You're guaranteed death. And taxes. Let me ask you something. Does this world give you any love? If I went down right now in the worst part of town, wherever that may be, would I be more likely to run into somebody who'll come up and just give me a big hug and tell me they love me, or someone that's going to rob me? Probably rob me. Yeah. This world offers you nothing. Secularism without God offers you nothing. Oh, they say they offer you everything. But when you break through their house of cards, there is nothing there. This is what they say is a better Christmas. Superstition, materialism, self-indulgence, secularism. I think we can do better. I think we already have something better with Christ. Let me prove it to you. Where they have superstition, we have salvation. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that's what Jesus is all about. That is what Christmas is all about. Celebrating the moment the Messiah came into human history to bring us salvation. He was rejected then. It didn't change who he was. They may reject Christ now, but it doesn't change the meaning of Christmas. Where they have superstition, we have salvation. Where they have materialism, we have a heavenly inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. Materialism, getting all the stuff here, but when you die, you're not taking any of it with you. And your material stuff does not define you as a good person or better than someone that doesn't have as much stuff as you. But through Christ, through the meaning of Christmas, we can obtain a heavenly inheritance. Remember back to our Revelation study when we were talking about the New Jerusalem, what we will inherit. Where they have materialism, we have heavenly inheritance. Where they have self-indulgence, we have spirit-filled lives. Where they try to find joy indulging in things, we find joy in the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You want real peace, you want real joy, it's not found in serving yourself. It's not found in the things in this world. It is found in Christ. And through Christ, because of his death and resurrection, we can repent of our sins and be sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And through that Holy Spirit, he can produce in you love, joy, peace, and all the fruit of the Spirit. Where they have secularism, we have security of God's love. You see, in secularism, there is no guarantee but of death. But in Christ, there is security of the supernatural love of God. Romans 8, verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. They did not improve Christmas. When you compare them side by side, it's not even a fair argument. With Christ, salvation, heavenly inheritance, Spirit-filled, and security of love. Keeping Christ in Christmas is much better than taking Christ out of Christmas. So today, this season, as we enter into the Christmas season, let each one of us be fully convinced in our own minds that Christmas is about Christ. You will be attacked by other Christians for celebrating the holiday. Let each one be convinced in their own mind. You'll be attacked by atheists. Let you be convinced fully in your own mind. Keep Christ at the center of all you do. And in Christ we have the liberty and the freedom to celebrate with tree, to celebrate with bells, to celebrate with food, with family time, and even Saint Nick. You're free. Christ is good. God is good. Don't let anyone steal the joy of your seasons, your Christmas traditions. If they are honoring God, because you are convinced in your own mind and they don't go against Scripture, you are free to do that. Some of the best memories I have as an adult is looking back to the Christmases I had as a kid. My family always made it special. And it was always about Christ. You do the same. Share with somebody the joy. If they attack, try to share. Try to love them back. But if they don't want to hear it, go on your way. Just keep your joy. And always remember, Christmas will always be about Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for the Christmas season. I know you didn't order it in your Scripture. It has been traditions that started with the first Christians that started to come together to celebrate the birth. And I am so thankful for it because it's truly one of the best times of the year. And it's the time when people talk about peace on earth. Unfortunately, that'll never happen until you return. But there can be peace between mankind and you because of the Son, because of the birth of the baby on Christmas Eve. There in the little town of Bethlehem, where God put on flesh and dwelt with man. Lord, I thank you for Christmas and what it represents. I ask you to help us to celebrate it, always honoring you and remembering the little baby. Because in that baby, we see so much about you. You are God Almighty. You are God on high. But you humbled yourself. You confined yourself to being a baby, to being cared for and taken and even controlled by your own creation, by a young lady and her husband. To depend on them, the ones you created. It's just amazing, Lord, to think about this. Lord, I thank you again for the Christmas season. And I ask you to help us as a church and as individuals to celebrate it with joy, with enthusiasm, with thankfulness, knowing you have given us the greatest gift. You have loved us beyond measure. And I ask you to help us to love you back as you deserve. I pray this in your name. Amen.